Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Weekly Conversation with Kyle. I'm your host, Kyle, and welcome to the program. This week on the program, Baby Blackburn makes his first statements after the killing of his pregnant wife and 12-week-old daughter. Also, the attacks in Paris hit close to home. My thoughts on that and moving forward as we address ISIS. Geraldo Rivera's daughter was in the stadium. My thoughts on things he has said about Obama and to Obama, that hopefully the left will wake up as he has. Also, there was a lady on Hannity that everything should be free. Free college, free this, everyone's going to pay for everything. I want to get into that just a little bit. Also, I want to pay my respects to John Lemieux. Wow, he was an all-black player for the New Zealand rugby team, 40 years old. He's dead. Jonah Lemieux. I don't know why I said John. Pardon me. Also, the Black Lives Matter movement. Pissed off because the ISIS terrorist attacks in Paris that killed people overshadowed their whiny belief that they're getting discriminated against. Not that if they're getting discriminated, it's any less important, but still, you know, we got bigger issues than you might have been discriminated against. Also, Charlie Sheen came out recently that he is HIV positive. My thoughts on this. And also, could Jeff Gordon, in his final race, in his final year, win the NASCAR Sprint Cup Championship? That and so much more. So, welcome to the program, folks. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. Psalm 62:2. The encouraging word of the day from K-Love, and I thought I'd share it with you because it helped me through my day. And also, I've got some health issues to talk about, and I'll probably get into those first. And I'll get into some other stuff. If many of you may not know this, but my mom was diagnosed recently, was about 3 years ago, with celiac disease. And so when I was sick, you know, I went to my doc and I said, you know, hey, I just wondered this. And he was, I said, well, my mom was diagnosed like 3 or 4 years ago with celiac disease. Could I have it? And he goes, well, it depends who you ask, because some people will say that they believe it's hereditary, that like if your mom has it, there's a 90% chance you'll have it. And there's another group of people that says there's no evidence to show that if she has it, that I'll get it. And he goes, well, I noticed that your blood test that you had done for your insurance said that you're anemic, that you're very low iron. And that is a big, big, you know, red flag for celiac disease. So I had the first blood test done, and it came back inconclusive. They couldn't say yes or no either way. So I've had a second blood test done, and we're waiting to see the results of that. And it's very, very, we don't know a lot about it, because we don't know if it's been around, if people have had that for, like, hundreds of years, but it's just now starting to come about, because I guess you can have, like, tiredness and fatigue, which I deal with, which is, I would assume, a lot from my myopathy, but at the same time, a lot of people have like pains in their stomach, almost like an acid reflux type stuff that doesn't go away. And I don't really have that, I don't think. But we will just have to wait and see, because I've been reading up on that, and you know, cross contamination hazards, and there's evidence that like if you do the scoping with a blade, if you get found out that way when they do a biopsy of the small intestine, you're already having damage. And what a lot of people don't realize is there was a lady that used to be on the airplanes, and she was a stewardess. She never smoked a day in her life, but because of the secondhand smoke, she had so much damage to her lungs that she only had one lung left. And the only way she could have gotten that is from being in the airplanes when they had smoking sections. And since she never smoked, you know, she took the tobacco companies to court in like 93, and they agreed to set like $350 million aside for a research foundation and all this in return to not, you know, concede blame for the issue. And, you know, that's what people don't realize. Like this one chef said, you'd probably gross out if you knew how much you inhale just breathing, that you'd be grossed out about. Well, you think about it, you have flour on your hands and you clap your hands and that flour dust gets in the air. You breathe that air, it gets in your body, it contaminates you. That's why someone like my mom has to be very, very careful where she eats. And until we know about this blood test, the second one, hopefully will give us more answers. Then we'll know more about where to go and what I can do. But, you know, it's not the end of the world. So I'm not, you know, I just take what God gives me, and he's my rock, he's my salvation, and he's been there for, I mean, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. So I just, it's another chapter in my comic book story life called Culinary's Kitchen, you know, I mean, just something, I mean, because I guess I didn't think it would be, I thought it would be more cut and dry in this, but it seems like every time they turn around, because there's actually evidence now that they're doing muscular dystrophy testing with beagles, and they're getting amazing results, because like my doctor said 4 years ago, if you told me there would have been a cure for Hep C, I'd never believe you. There's a treatment that takes 12 weeks. It's very, very expensive. Most insurances won't cover it yet, but it cures 85 to 90% of everyone that has Hep C that uses it. You know, so he's just impressed with my fortitude and how I just try to carry on regardless, you know, with all the, you know, with my myopathy, basically my muscular dystrophy type thing I deal with, you know. So he's a great guy, though. I've known him for years. So, you know, and of course, the girl that, like, comes in and does the blood pressure and all that stuff, I went to high school with her, and I've known her for even longer. And she's like, oh, we thought maybe you went somewhere else. I said, no, I was seeing a pain management clinic, and I see Dr. Kincaid every year, so I was seeing somebody, and I just totally spaced out. But since I'm so young, it's, you know, and I was seeing someone on a regular basis, if there was something that was going to come up, because they, with the pain management clinic, they would do blood testing and all that stuff on you anyway. So a lot of the stuff he would have had done or requested to have done, I was having done by other doctors anyway. So moving forward, folks, Friday, my mom, of course, she's like, did you hear what's going on? And I have a French 24 app. And I'm like, the attacks in Paris, and they hit close to home. I have a buddy that lives in the 22nd district of Paris. And I didn't sleep that night at all, hoping he's okay. And they have an app on a lot of, like, with Facebook, like, if there's some, like, a disaster or something goes on, they can put up an app to where you can click this button and it'll let everyone on your friends page know you're alive, you're okay. If there's, like, an earthquake or something, if you can get, you know, if it's, mainly if you can, they'll do that. But, I mean, if you lose power, then you might not be able to get online or whatever. But, like, if it's, like, what happened, he was able to hit a button at, like, 3:50 in the morning, our time. It was like, I'm okay. And then I got an email after back from him saying that him and his wife and daughter are okay. And it's just, it shook home because, as you know, the day before, ISIS was contained, as Obama put it. Yeah. As they said, and correct me if I'm wrong, but no one in that Democratic debate can say, I don't know why they can't say ISIS or like Islamic extremist or radical Islam. They can't, I don't know why they can't do it. Okay, 4 United States Marines are now dead from Benghazi. It wasn't because of lack of jobs or climate change or lack of free community college or income equality or income gaps or white racism or gay marriage or any of that. It is because President Barack Obama, radical Islam. I'm scared when they attack the U.S. because Obama basically said at that G20 summit, don't worry, we're not changing our strategy, we're not doing anything, and everyone there, as a lot of as I have friends in Spain, I have friends in France, I have friends all over the world, and they're all like they were expecting to hear a rally the troops. Okay, folks, this is what we're gonna do. You go clean the bathrooms, you go do this, we're gonna clean up from this party. You take the kitchen, you do the dishes, I'll vacuum, and we'll all come together. That's what they were expecting. Okay, we're gonna fight ISIS and we want you to help us, but we're gonna lead the charge. And that's not what they got. Barack Obama basically said, hey, you're on your own. I'm not changing my strategy about ISIS. You know, hey, well, they're contained. If they're so contained, then why does he want to bring all these refugees here? Okay, I'm not afraid of people. I'm not. I'll walk down the street. I'm not afraid of people. But a lot of people aren't in this country. But why do we lock our doors at night? For the one or two people that might do us harm. You know, how many, what was there, like 80% of the Germans were great? But they were irrelevant compared to the 20% that was killing everybody. Same with the Japanese. 85% of the Japanese were great, but that 15% that was doing the suicide bombings and killings all over Southeast Asia, they were the problem. The other 85%, they were irrelevant. Just all it's going to take is three or four or five of these so-called refugees coming across that are not true refugees. Like I posted a thing on my Facebook page where it had somebody in Sharia law outfit with the with where they cover their face and everything except for their eyes and their whole body is it, and it says, is it a man? Is it a woman? What is it? He could have a AK-47 hidden under there, bombs strapped to him, kill as many people as possible, and if you shoot him, he could have a thing where if he lets go of his hand, bang goes the bombs. You don't know. You can't see anything. Wrong to ban that. We need to let them have that. We need to let them live. Well, if they want to live like that and want to live under Sharia law, then they need to go to some place that accepts it, that lives under that. Why should we have to change everything about how we live to comply with a belief in an ideology that we don't? How do you kill an ideology? It's not like we can go to Germany, okay? How do we kill an ideology? Because it's not like we can just go to Germany and kill them and they're done. There are people that believe that radical Islam all over the world. And just in case you wondered, France and Russia are bombing. Where do you think they're getting that information from? Where are they knowing? How are they knowing where to bomb? That is from our United States military. So why aren't we bombing? If it's contained, why do they need to bomb? That's because people need to wake up in this country fast. Geraldo Rivera did it when his daughter, he is very, very left. I don't hardly ever agree with him, because he's very left. But I love Fox News because they have the right and the left. They have both sides of the story. They don't always end up having the right. You know, they usually end up getting, you know, told what time it is, but at least they have someone that can speak their mind from the other side of the aisle. And guess what? Obama doing? This country, this world is unstable. His daughter was over there, they're freaking out. She has no idea. She doesn't speak any French, so she's like screwed. And she was at the stadium, and I guarantee you, she's going to be writing a book about the experience, and it'll be a good read to see what because there's evidence that there were Turkish people in the stadium that were kind of like cheering on the bombs, whether that's true or not, but there's actually evidence
Wow.
that was going on. And what did you have? How many thousands of people were there helpless? Because they don't. They, you talk about gun control, they are very, very huge. It's virtually nil for a public person, you know, a citizen to have a gun. But I mean, we gotta ban weapons, and we gotta. Anyone that says anyone brings up that gun free crap, all you have to say is France, because they are like 20 times more stringent than Chicago is, and look at what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, but we got to let these refugees in. Well, then you take them in. You 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 you. They live in your house. You're totally responsible for them, and you're going to take the blame for anything that would happen. I'm not saying there's not great. I'm sure there's some people that are going to come across that are 85% of maybe the greatest people in the world. But the 15% are the percent that I'm worried about. They're the, you know, I wasn't worried, our ancestors weren't worried about the 80% of Germans that were great. They were worried about the 20% that were Nazis that were killing everybody, that wanted world domination. The 85% of those refugees that might be hunky-dory are irrelevant to the 15% that want to kill us all because they don't like our Western way of life. That's what we got to wake up and realize, folks. This, we are living in a society that is a human society. It's not a left or right. It's not, oh, well, you're just a conservative Tea Party. You're not a Christian. Yes, I am. I'm a smart Christian. I don't want to have somebody coming into this country that could be potentially deadly. Think about it like this. I bet you $100 I could sit there and go to, let me see here, go to some of those refugees and say, $1,000. All you got to do is strap some kilos of cocaine on you and just come over here. They're not going to check you. And guess what? You get 10 people walking over here and they got 7 kilos of cocaine on them. Hey, great way to smuggle it in for a drug cartel. And who's to say that other people aren't going to take advantage of this loosey-goosey border now that they're trying to get refugees in here? There was a CNN reporter that actually tweeted after this bipartisan Democrat and Republican law passed, strictly controlling the Syrian refugees that are trying to come into this country, that the Statue of Liberty bows in like disgust, like how dare they do this? Really? All these people that have all these posts of, well, maybe the Native Americans shouldn't have taken us as refugees. Well, when we came here, we thought this was India. We were coming here to find a shorter route to the West Indies to get black pepper because they thought it cured the meat. To get rid of the smell with black pepper, it cures the food. Well, we all know that's a lie. Now, if it's rotten, it's rotten. It may taste, make the smell, it might make it taste better, but it's not going to kill any bacteria. I'm not saying that there's any wrong with that. I mean, I don't. Those weren't. I mean, they were people that did what they did. I have no control over the fact that they came and took this land. And it wasn't. And it was. Let me see here. Scotland tried to take this land. So did England. So did France. So did Spain. There were many countries that tried to take this land, period. It's not like, I don't know how, that's relevant to today, in my opinion, anyways, because I just look at it and I'm like, I don't, we didn't try to. I don't really think back then they really tried to eliminate a total race. They just wanted to, hey, They just wanted the land like every other nation, you know. I mean, and this should be the Native Americans. I mean, I want to see a powwow at the White House and have a Native American run this country. Know? We took the land from them. Okay, let's say what we did to the Indians, Native Americans, whatever you want to call it, was wrong. What do we want to have that happen again if we bring over these people? I'm not saying, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't want to see that. But oh, you're just racist because you don't want to have Syrian refugees over here. Remember, folks, it's not the 85% that are halfway decent, probably, that I'm worried about. It's the 15%, but that's not the point. The point is, if we have one homeless vet sleeping in the street tonight, how can we say we're going to help refugees from another country when we're not even helping our own military veterans? That's what effing pisses me off. My dad was in the Coast Guard, and I'm damned if they're going to help some refugee if they wouldn't help my dad if he needed it. My dad doesn't need the help, but you have veterans that can't even get care. But oh, they're going to have a place to live, they're going to get food, they're going to get all this. Okay, senior citizens are not going to get a cost of wage increase from their Medicaid and Medicare and all their Social Security. It's going to be bankrupt, but. How can Social Security be going bankrupt when, oh gee, all of a sudden there's all this money for Syrian refugees? I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist or anything, you know. You know, I'm not. I just don't know where. How are we paying for all these Syrian refugees when we don't even have money for our own people? Explain that to me on the left. I want someone from the left to explain that to me because I don't see it. But Barack Obama's not going to do anything. We're already containing ISIS. He's not. Well, here's the thing. We got to, this is a two-way street in terms of this. Is he in bed with ISIS? Does he support them under the table? Or is he somebody that is wanting to be seen as like a Bill Clinton that never had to go to war, never had to do anything, never, you know? Because I guess I look at it like this. If Jeb Bush hypothetically was to become president, people would say, here's the third Bush and here's the third war. Whether we have to go or not, that's like I said last week, he'd be a third Bush and a third war. You know? And does Obama just want to try to, because there's a lot of people that says he's just trying to hopefully get in and out of the White House without having to do anything, without having to really actually do a major war to where he can be looked at like a Bill Clinton. Well, nothing happened when I was president.
I'm thinking better fight.
I think a little of both. You know, I mean, there's a lady that said that her son's being deployed over there and it's been over there in the Middle East, and she goes, you're probably safer there than you are here. And there might be some truth to that. I mean, I just don't know how any person believes that their God wants them to kill.
I need that house. And then even Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats
Mm-hmm.
did not go with Obama on the vetting the
Oh,
refugees.
I know. I know.
But you
Yeah,
know what
when you
I'm
lose Democrats on vetting. Well, look at this, folks. The my favorite, the Fort Hood shooter, he was vetted. Oh, I mean, he was whatever. You know, all it took is 19 hijackers to take down the Twin Towers. Every single person of that faith that would not do anything like that, that would stand against them, are irrelevant. My case closed. I mean, do we just like have to go beyond Obama and say, okay, you do what you want. We're going to sit there and we need to have the military and we're just going to do what we need to do.
My company.
Civil War, I think, is coming to this country for more than one reason. Like, and this is one thing I don't get, and this is what's confusing me. I've had actual people have posts, because, like, on Facebook, you can do a silhouette of the French flag over your profile photo. And they're like, well, how is that going to get rid of ISIS? How is that going to stop ISIS? And how is that going to do it? I'm like, where did we think that that was going to stop ISIS? Yeah, where did we say, where did we even say that? That was to show solidarity that we stand with Paris. If you don't remember, the day after 9/11, in front of the Eiffel Tower, there was a picture of the Eiffel Tower, and in front of it on the ground was a huge American flag with French people standing in solidarity with the U.S. But now, we stand in solidarity with Paris and France, and it's like, well, how's that going to stop the terrorist? You know, I don't get it. I don't. If we said that we were going to stop terrorism with that, then okay, then you could call me a retarded doot-doot, but that's not what we did it for. I don't know, you know, some people I don't get. And I don't, just like this, there was a lady, I got to get to this because my boss was actually showing this at work, and I'm like, all right. There's a lady that was on Hannity. No, not Hannity. He was on Neil Cavuto's show. And she's like, well, we need to have, because there's this big movement to be like Greece and have free education and free everything and free all this stuff. And if you're going to be a spokesman for like free education and all this stuff, free college and all these things, you should be able to back up your belief with facts and claims. Everything she said, Neil Cavuto knocked her over. She was like you were in the summertime in your room and you had a fan and you were trying to play a game, and every time the fan went by, it would knock the game pieces over, so you put them back up and they get knocked over, and you didn't realize that the fan's the problem and you need to have the fan blowing in a way that you get some air circulation without it hitting the game pieces to knock it over. You know? How?
Right.
Yeah, how can you be someone that's representing a cause and not be able to answer basic questions? Like he said, if you take and tax 100% of the top 1% of this nation, you would only have enough money to take Social Security and run it for like 3 years. That's it. That's if you tax the top 1% 100%. That's what I want to do. I want to get rich so I can be taxed 100%.
Who would want that?
Oh, but there's, what happened in Greece when they decided to try to do everything for free? The 1% left. There's always going to be a 1%. Yeah. What, it like, then the 1% is going to go down, and before you know it, the 1% is going to be like broke people that are going to be up in arms because I was guaranteed that I was going to have all this stuff for free, and you better give it to me. You better, and then you're going to have rioting in the streets. I mean, there's a little thing called people don't want to work.
It's called a work ethic.
It's called a work ethic. You know, I understand, and don't let me think I'm not unsympathetic. There was a lady that was like 2 years ago put a GoFundMe page because she goes, by the time when she gets out of college, this is like when she, like in 3 months of this post that she did and this like video and GoFundMe page, she was going to be paying like $1,200 a month just in student loans. That wasn't rent, that was not car, that was not food, that was not gas. And she goes, where am I going to find a job that's going to be able to pay me right out of school enough to pay that student loan? And she had to move back home because she goes, I can't even, she had to have like 1.5 jobs just to pay the student loan. And, you know, and I understand having that, but you got to look at it from, also there's a lot of people that, oh, I got a degree, I'm a CEO. You know, they don't want to start and work their way up, and there's tons of great jobs, like, but people don't want to, if you want to be a metal fabricator, you can make good money, but you got to bust your butt, you got to work, you got to sweat, you got to get dirty. Most people don't want, they just want to sit at a desk and, okay, bring in my next appointment. Yeah, can you refill the ice? Yeah, I need more scotch too. Hard to find a good secretary these days, you know. Yeah, thinking about putting $50 million into my toilet in the bathroom, yeah. Get it solid gold. You know, have it to where I can get warm in the wintertime. You know, that's, you know, I mean, people, that's, so many people just want to be like, think they're going to be a CEO right out of college. Not everybody, but there's a lot of people that don't want to work for what they have. And that's one of the big issues. You know, I got to make $15 an hour because I'm a burger flipper, because I do more things than an EMT. I'm more important than they are. I got to have union representation and everything, and I'm not backing down. You know, I'd be like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do, folks. You want $15 an hour? I'm going to have to do this, but I'm closing this McDonald's. Sorry. Close it. What?
Mm-hmm.
Go to San Francisco and go to a Subway and see how much stuff costs. They don't do the $5 footlongs. Why? Because they have a cost of living wage out there that's $24 an hour, because it's expensive to live out there. And that's probably making minimum wage out here. But you ain't going to get a $5 footlong. I remember being at the San Francisco airport, and this was like 10 years ago, and a banana was like $2 for one banana. I'm like, I could buy a whole pound for that much. Plus, because it's like 39 cents a pound. And one banana was $2 at the airport. You ain't going to be getting no dollar menu. It'll be like a $4 menu if you want $15 an hour. Now, I do have some sympathy if you seriously worked at a factory or something making good money, and it's hard to find actual, you know, you've worked and it's hard to find actual work in a, you know, because, hey, I used to work here. I wish I could find work like this, but, hey, they left, and now I'm screwed, and this is the only thing I can find for employment. I don't want to be here. Then okay, but if you're just like, well, I just want to work at McDonald's because it's a cush-ass job and it's easy, and I want to, you know, if you've exhausted everything and the best you can find for employment is McDonald's, and you used to work at this company and then they shut down the facility or that, you know, then I could kind of see, but still, you know, McDonald's was designed for, okay, you learn how to work. You learn how to show up on time and wear a uniform. And this is how we make a burger. So that if you go to Miami, Florida, or Key West, Florida, or Alaska, the burger's going to taste pretty much the same. You're learning how to basic job skills. It was never designed to be a career unless you're a manager or a district manager or something like that, or an assistant manager.
You know, there's something wrong with working at McDonald's. People eat there every day.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong. But when people, well, I gotta, you know, then if you have to be able to survive on a McDonald's income, you know, why stop at 15? Why not go for like $40? I would just love to see some of those protesters and say, I'm against you guys because I want $40 an hour. You know, you guys want to hunt for 15? I'm going all the way for 40, man. Why not? See how quickly if you had to go to McDonald's and a cheeseburger was like $7, you would see how quickly people would learn how to cook in their own kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I want Burger King, Mom. We're not paying $9 for a Big Mac or a quarter pounder or whatever, you know, the Whopper, whatever it is. You know, I don't really eat fast food, so. But, you know.
It's okay, right?
Mom, well, I don't have nothing wrong with my wife eating a burger. You know, if you want to eat there, that's your prerogative. I just really don't. It's nothing against that, but. See, there's something you come to find out if you find that person. There's going to be quirks about your wife that you don't like or things about you that she may not want her or something like, but you learn to accept that. I mean, you know, you can't be someone that's like, oh, well, if he might grow a beard, I wouldn't want to be with him because he might grow a beard sometime. I would. Folks, we got a $25 million lawsuit because Susan Jones and John Smith are getting divorced because he wanted to have a beard. And she said no. Next time on Divorce Course. Or Divorce Court, whatever. Divorce Court or whatever. Can't even speak tonight. You know, but, I mean, you learn to accept. You know, if you want to work it, if all you can find is McDonald's for employment, then you need to sit there and say, okay, why is McDonald's the only place that I can find that is decent work? What's going on? Well, see, it's because we don't have enough government involvement in the workplace. That's why it is, you know. I mean, because you think about it. If we get rid of global warming and we give the terrorists jobs, everything's going to be fixed. See, I think they didn't go to school because they didn't have free community college, you know what I mean? You know, when you have someone like Geraldo Rivera go off on President Obama, that should be a light bulb in your head going ding, 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 ding. You would think, but what happened at the GOP debate, you know, what's scary with that, with the GOP debate, there isn't a, they're legitimate. No, but they're legitimate. The GOP is legitimate. There's nothing scary about them. It's the fact that I actually think that Bernie Sanders really believes that global warming is the cause of terrorism. That, like, you know, all we have to do is get these people jobs and everything's fixed. I actually believe they think that's the real issue here. That all they have to do is solve global warming and everything's... I believe he actually believes what he's saying. And that's scary. But, hey. Something. He's done something. Because, I mean, I don't know how anyone believes what they were saying. It makes no sense. But, of course, they had to go off about the damn emails. I gave them 11 hours. Well, okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, this is the FBI going after you. This isn't Republicans or Democrats or... This is the FBI investigating you about national security issues. This has nothing to do with GOP. But you got to understand, folks, who voted for Barack Obama? A lot of people who couldn't name his running mate. A lot of the people in the GOP know at least enough that when they go to vote, they can say who the running mate is. They know what's going on. They can. But a lot of these people on the left, they could say whatever they want in these Democratic debates, and they'll believe anything because they don't follow anything. They don't know anything.
I mean, the GOP is Democratic. I mean, Republican. That's,
you know? I mean, at least when they ask these people, but, I mean, what's scary is when they ask people things about, like, well, what do you think about this or that? And they seem like, instead of saying, I don't know, I'm not going to comment. They'll just comment. Oh, yeah, I think we should get Sharia law in here. Instead of saying, well, I don't really know what that is. Sorry. You know? And remember, folks, 15% are the problem. The 80% are irrelevant. So that's the Democratic Party. You have 15% that might know what's going on. The other 85% don't have a clue. They're practically irrelevant, you know, then just whatever, you know. I mean, like, what would they do if they went to the voting booth and Hillary Clinton's name wasn't there? I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. What do you mean? I'm voting for Hillary Clinton for president. She's not even on the ballot. She's in prison. What? Really? I mean, seriously, what would happen? I mean, yeah. And I could see that happening if she ended up going, if she ended up getting charged with anything, which who knows? We'll have to wait and see. I'm not either. But what really saddened me was when these Black Lives protesters from Missouri University were going off, that the media can multitask, that they're pissed off because the terrorist attacks that killed 126 plus people and severely injured 200 some, that news took over their being on the front page. I'm not saying that what they're possibly going through is shouldn't be news, but it compared to what went on in Paris, they need to have more respect. I mean, because seriously, I could sit there and I could spray paint all kinds of stuff in my house, you know, like death to whites and all this stuff, and say, look, I'm being discriminated against. And supposedly somebody in put a swastika with feces or something. I don't remember. There's all kinds of crap they said happened. And I don't know if people are just jumping on a bandwagon because, well, since race is a big thing, I'm just going to exploit it. You know, because I don't really remember a lot of this stuff going on or being in the news when Bill Clinton was president or when George Bush was. I'm not saying it never happened. I don't want someone, well, you said it. I never said it never happened. I just don't remember it. There might be stories where there, but I don't remember them being protest about, you know, people going off because of racism in a college campus. It might have happened, I just don't remember it. Yep. I don't know if you heard this today in the news, but Jared from Frugal from Subway, he got 188 months in jail for what he did. That's 15 plus years. And I guess they could have given him up to 15. He can never be around the kid without supervised, without someone that's like actually like super, like a court supervised person, except for his own biological children. They worked it out so he doesn't have to be around, you know, later in life with his kids. But I think by the time he could actually have any visitation with his children, they would be adults. So it wouldn't really matter, but I guess he's 100%, I guess he's waived all, like, rights to a retrial or anything. And he's like, you know, I hope the money goes to help these kids. He just, honestly, like, I need to pay for what I've done. What I did was wrong. And that's basically where he left it, you know, like, hey, I know what I've done is wrong, and it just started out with this and this and this, and next thing you know, it's... I actually served that guy several times. Who knew? But yeah, I mean, one of the ways it works, they said they just need to cut it off. Chop his head off, basically. I'm like, well, you could be a serial killer, but if you got a kid and you're in prison, you know, they are like the most hated people in jail, period. So, you know, he'll probably be in some special area because, I mean, they are looked at as the most hated people and they don't care. He may have killed 50 people, but he looks on you as enemy number one because of what you've done. Moving forward, Charlie Sheen recently came out with the fact that he's HIV positive, something that I don't know. I guess it's sort of like a, what would you call that? 'Cause I mean, I guess I remember this more like in the 80s, you know, when Ryan White and all this stuff came out. And I guess he's known for like 4 years, and a couple of people that he confided in, and people that, like, in his inner circle, I guess, started to blackmail him. And I guess one girl he was with at the time, I guess, went into the bathroom and took a picture of his HIV medication and threatened to send it to a tabloid, sell it to a tabloid if he didn't pay her and all this stuff. And I think back then he should have just came out. Maybe he was just going through some, he had some demons and stuff going on that he just wasn't thinking straight or whatever. But, you know, it's just, it reiterates how, like, it's almost, I almost felt like it was like going back to like a, like, I would swear you would, I watched that and it seemed like it's like a 1991 like news interview. Like, it's like, I mean, there was a doctor several years ago that he had patients. He goes, well, I was basically giving them the death knell report. Here you go. Give this to the insurance. It's gonna let them know that, you know, you got, like, you're gonna die. You got AIDS. It's like a year to live. Good luck. And now they're dying from like heart disease and things that, you know, natural cause things. And they're like, the AIDS is like a second. I mean, look at how long Magic Johnson's lived. He has AIDS, you know, and they're not dying from the AIDS. They're dying from other issues that they would have probably died from or could have died from anyways. And you just, you know, you just, I love the fact that he's coming out. And I guess there are some people that have written in saying that he's there, you know, like, you know, just when you think there's no, it's kind of lost its luster, where, like, you know, okay, I was just diagnosed with AIDS and I don't know, you know, there's no one that I can look up to that, hey, that's come out recently. Well, now they got him. And so it's just interesting. It's a really, it's like, I think it was like 20 some minutes to interview, and it was really good, you know. And it's just, you know, kind of just almost like a flashback, because you don't really hear many people come out saying they're HIV positive. Like, it's like they did back in the day, you know. But now we know so much more about it that I could, if I had AIDS, which I don't, you know, I could shake Charlie Sheen's hand and I'm not going to get infected. You know, like back in the day, hell, they wouldn't even want to have you near them. Okay, you need to be quarantined. We don't want you at our school because you might infect people, even though, because they didn't know a lot about it back then when Ryan White had it and stuff. But as we move on, to those of you who follow the sport as I do, as much as I can, Jonah Lomu, number 11, a player, one of the best on the All Blacks in New Zealand, recently passed away at the age of 40. And I'm 40 years old, and it hits you, because, I mean, you, like, when you look at someone like Dan Weldon, or you look at someone like Justin Wilson, or any of the people, and you sit and you're like, man, I'm around their age, and it just kind of hits you and just makes you appreciate everything you have, and you don't take a day for granted, because I don't. And he was just incredible. If you ever watch any of the highlights of the All Blacks as number 11, he was incredible and huge. And I haven't really read about how he died, know what happened, or how he, you know, I just, it just said he's dead at 40, and I didn't really see anything about how he died. So it's very, like, shock to the whole rugby community. Like, wow, like, what the heck? You know, because you watch it, and just like the world was in shock when Ronda Rousey lost. I mean, and it's just, I guess, because he's so young that it's like, wow, like, what the heck? So, yeah, go look up number 11 from the All Blacks. I'll actually spell his name so you can look him up. Jonah, capital Lomu. He was incredible. And this Someone actually asked me this today. This Sunday is actually the last race of the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. have a chance at winning the championship. And I want to see Jeff Gordon win it just because it's his last year, his last race. And a lot's been going through my head because I can remember, wow, just seems like yesterday was his first race. And his crew chief is Ray Evernham, and they were there and like, okay, we don't want to cause, you know, we're just, it's our first race. It was the last race in Atlanta, and we didn't want to wreck anybody that's possibly going for the championship. You know, we're just out there racing. You know, we're not getting points or anything, really. It's last race. And, you know, and Ray Evernham had this idea like, well, you know, people just kind of do, why don't we have like a stopwatch? I'm sure we can do like if you take a marching band, this is the show we do. And then you memorize it and you do this show. And you go here, 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 and you make a star, then you do this. And I'm sure if we treat this like a routine, we can shave many seconds off the time and we can get in and out of the pits twice as fast. And that's how you have these pit crew competitions and stuff now where people, you know, it's amazing how quickly they get in and out of the pits. And, you know, it's gone from that to 1995 when it was down point, when it was raining at the Brickyard. And, I mean, I thought it was over. And all of a sudden they, like, called everyone back and everyone's running back. And at the end of it, I'll never forget this. The first man to win the Brickyard, Dale Sr. But Jeff Gordon won the inaugural Brickyard. He's always been someone that I always just admire because he was just incredible behind the wheel. And it's just, where are they all going? Okay, Dale Sr.'s gone. Davey Allison's gone. Alan Kulwicki's gone. There's no Dick Trickle. Terry Labonte. Jimmy Hensley. The Kodak car. You know what? I mean, just kind of dates my age, you know. So I've been a motorsports fan for years and years. And, you know, Donnie Allison, Kyle Petty, Richard Petty. And I remember Richard's last race. And he was in a wreck, so they fixed it up enough to get it out there. And it didn't have the hood when they went around just so he could finish the race. And it was just, you know, and that Jeff Gordon's first race was considered the race that would change NASCAR forever because it was Richard Petty's last race, and he was considered the old school, and Jeff was considered the new school one. And now you have some of these people that, you know, they just do some late model dirt racing, and then they get into a simulator, and bam, they don't really learn on track. Because back in the day, there weren't a lot of multi-car teams, and basically, if you wanted to learn from someone, you had to buddy up with someone and say, hey, you know, and you had to befriend someone, and they would teach you stuff, and you would say, hey, I notice that when I do this, it helps me here, and then you would share information. Now you got like three people in a team or four people in a team, so you always know you got someone to go to. Well, you didn't have that back in the day, and you had to be more, you know, NASCAR has changed a lot, some for the great, some for the not so great. It's just hard to believe it. It's going to be Jeff's last race. But the sport goes on. I mean, it wasn't the end of the world when we lost Dale Sr. But there's not a day goes by that I don't, when I see a race, I don't look for that number, the black number three. Well, where the heck is, and what would he be doing now? Because Dale Sr. said this one time, this lady was interviewing him. She goes, what would you do if you couldn't be a race car driver? He'd go, I'd be a race car driver. And really quickly, the Premier League really didn't do anything this week because every team was out with international play, so they don't really do that. And, you know, so we're just, there's some possible prospects for when they open up the signing window in January and all that. So there's a player by the name of Bolt who's actually considering coming to Manchester United freely, where it's like, you know, he just wants to, like, try out. And basically, like, if you like me, you can keep me. If not, no. So we'll see how he does. I don't even know who he is. I'd have to look into him more, but, you know. And for those of you who know, my New York Red Bulls are continuing their postseason winning ways, and they're actually November 29th game, which the time is to be announced, is already sold out, and it's just, I hope they win the MLS Cup. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing. And I got about 3 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And, you know, and as I always say, you know, I hope you learn and just think for yourself. Take what I say or take what anyone says and do your homework. Do you think I'm right? Do you think I'm wrong? No. If you disagree, okay. I don't have a problem with that. You know, just, well.
Don't leave the freaking gold.
Yeah, just don't. Exactly. You know, and one thing I wanted to touch on is that, you know. And next week I will be taking the week off because it's Thanksgiving. And by the next show I should have more information on my blood test and what's come of that. And, you know, a lot's been going through my mind with that because if I do end up having celiac disease, cross-contamination would probably be such that I don't know if I could cook anymore. Or unless I found a gluten-free place or whatever. It just depends because, I mean, one of my friends, she lost somebody very close to her from celiac disease, and she found, like, there was gluten supposedly in her toothpaste. And so it's very, I mean, I'm doing lots of research. I do have a cookbook that I can use that's gluten-free that I wrote. So the only thing that's not gluten-free in it is there's a pizza recipe, and that's my original recipe, and I would just have to take the actual flour out and just put a gluten-free flour in place of it and then with the cornmeal. But, you know.
You need to make gluten-free beer.
Called hard cider. They make it with, like, they do a gluten-free beer with something, but I don't know if it's any good. That's the only thing that's, luckily I love wine, but, like, whiskey and all that stuff's made with wheat. Not many people realize it. Same thing with, like, the Domino's pizza. Even though it's a gluten-free crust, it's cross-contaminated because it's made in the same facility that does other stuff. That's why the celiac disease does not actually, the Celiac Foundation does not recommend you get that. And, you know, I'd have to look at my level of, you know, how severely allergic I am to it to determine where I go next. You know, so right now, the first test is inconclusive, so we'll just take it as we go. And I guess I want you to, because you listen to me, you should know who you're listening to. You know, I mean, I guess I feel like I'm kind of like Glenn Beck. I respect him because he is who he is. And he said, this is what I'm going through. This is, you know, take it or leave it. Don't take my word for anything. Look it up. Prove me wrong. Learn. You know, do research. So when you go to vote for Hillary Clinton, you know what she stands for. Or Barack Obama or whoever. Until next 2 weeks from now, God bless you and good night. Goodbye, everybody. Love you.